Good afternoon. So today we're going to finish up talking about virtual memory, and we'll see what else we have time for. So some logistical things. As you know, there's a homework out. The homework is due next Tuesday at midnight, since Wednesday is a reading day. At midnight, I mean 11:59 p.m., so end of day Tuesday. Usual late policy applies, not that I recommend it. Most people, once you figure out the homework, it doesn't take very long. And of course, if you didn't finish smooth, the late policy still applies, and you might do that. So any questions on the memory homework or multi-level page tables in general? Okay. So let's move on from this diagram here. We have our page table lookup with a two-level page table where, as noted before, it looks like we need to do three accesses to the cache and therefore possibly to main memory every time the program thinks it's just getting one thing. And with something like a four-level page table, which is what we learned modern x86-64 systems use, that would be five memory accesses. And that seems pretty inefficient. We're having five accesses every time we do a real access. And, well, maybe it's not too bad because at least this is a cache here. So we're hitting cache every time, hopefully. But even if we consider caches, they aren't that amazing. A typical L1 cache has a hit time of like a couple cycles these days. And spending 8-10 cycles on every memory access would be a lot of time, especially if you consider current generation processor usually has a pipeline of like 15 stages. So we're taking the two-thirds of the amount of time it takes us to execute an instruction is the latency of a memory access in that case, and that wouldn't be acceptable. Our processors would run really, really slow, and we don't want that. So we're gonna have to come up with some way of making our virtual memory system faster than that. So it's not gonna be enough if every time we look up a page table entry that hits in cache. That's not fast enough. That's still gonna make all our programs run way, way too slow. And our solution is going to be to add more caching. So the generic cache that we had for all values in memory that will cache page table entries, it's perfectly capable of doing that, is not good enough. We're going to have something more specialized. And an observation we're going to make in order to have this be practical is that if we look at a typical program, when we're in a particular method, there's actually very small portions of memory we care about. There's some little bit of the stack that method accesses. The stack might have a whole lot of stuff on it, but most likely in a typical method, we're only accessing a few local variables that almost always fits in a page. Not all the time, but most of the time, that's one page of the stack. And we're accessing some code. And if it's a single method, that's probably fits in a page. That's several kilobytes. That's a lot of machine code fits in a kilobyte. So we're probably accessing like a couple pages of code. And there's some global variables, some constants, but all this adds up to a very small number of pages, like one or two in each of these areas the program might be using. This won't always be the case. Like we could write a program which just accesses random memory locations all the time. In which case, the highlighted region that's active would be essentially spread all over. But this is typically not how programs work. And because of this, page table entries have really, really, really good temporal locality. We think of like accesses to variables and such having good temporal locality. Page table entries are better than most things in memory. Because like if we have the page table entry for the top of the stack, well, we're accessing that all the time. It's always the exact same thing over and over again. We have excellent temporal locality for that. Page table for where the loop we're currently executing, that page table entry is probably just one. We're accessing it every single instruction. So you have really, really good temporal locality mostly because each page table entry represents a lot of data. It's 4K of related data. So that gives us, you know, an opportunity to do better caching than we would do with the L1 cache. And because we have such excellent temporal locality and relatively few pages are active, the number we need to actually cache to make things fast is very small. So this isn't like an L1 cache where typically we have many thousands of blocks we want to cache, and a typical program needs that for good performance because we think, you know, we're accessing an array of 100 things. That's easily going to require us to have tens or hundreds of cache entries to make that fast. And if we look at typical programs, we end up wanting to have L1 data and instruction caches, which are in the order of tens of kilobytes at least, to get the best performance trade. But for TLB entries, page table entries, we're going to have a very small number we need. So the TLB is the funny name for a page table entry cache. So this is like our L1 cache, but it doesn't hold values from memory. It holds just page table entries. So it's a very small cache. And since it's very small, it can be very, very fast. And so it's kind of like our L1 caches. So our L1 caches, we look up a physical address and we get the value stored there. In the TLB, we look up a virtual page number. That's what tells us what a page table entry is for. And we get not the bytes stored at that virtual page number, but the page table entry for that virtual page number. That's what this cache stores. It doesn't store actual program data. It just shortcuts those first several memory accesses where we looked up things in page tables. So it only caches page table entries. The organization of every TLB I know of is that a block is just one page table entry. They could have done otherwise, but they haven't found that useful. And this kind of makes sense. You'd think, well, if it was worth keeping the two adjacent page table entries together, we just have smaller, bigger pages. So it's not worth having multiple page table entries for blocks. So every block of this cache is going to be one page table entry. And where an L1 cache has thousands of blocks to make a TLB nice and fast, you know, because we want it to be even much faster than an L1 access, we're going to have usually on the order of tens, maybe a small number of hundreds of entries. And we'll have multi-level page tables. And one thing you might say is, well, what page table entries are stored in the TLB? Generally, we're just going to store the thing from the last level page table. That's all we care about. That's all we need to actually make the physical address. Yes, to figure that out, we needed the higher levels of the page table, but we're not going to cache those. So we're always going to store only the last level entries. We're going to use the other levels of the page table when we're figuring out what goes in that TLB entry I don't have filled in yet. But we're not going to actually store those in the TLB. We're also not going to store invalid entries in the TLB because we don't really care if accessing an invalid memory location is fast. So we're just going to not keep those in the TLB. We're just going to do the whole lookup and find out, oh, it's a fault, and trigger a page fault. And so what this gives us is that we, you know, have our program gives an address, and where previously we imagined the address going to the L1 cache, it actually goes to the MMU, which we've talked about, the memory management unit, which knows about the page table base pointer and does the page table look. And previously what we said is that the memory management unit just talked to the L1 cache in memory, or memory, and looked up a page table entry, looked up another page table entry, and so on until it figured out the address. So what it's going to do now is it's going to ask the TLB, which stands for Translation Look-Aside Buffer. This is the look-aside idea. It's where that part of the name probably comes from. So it's going to look in there to figure out the translation. And ideally, it's going to ask the TLB, hey, what is the page table entry for this address? And it's going to find out the physical page number from that and then send one request to the L1 cache. So in our ideal case, if the TLB access is really cheap, this is essentially just as expensive as when we didn't have address translation. We didn't use page tables at all. That's the hope. We also, of course, need logic to actually fill in the TLB. If we don't have something cached in the TLB and we access it, we're going to want to, when we figure out the page table entry for the translation, we're going to fill in the TLB so next time we try to access something on the same page, we actually use that cache page table entry rather than going to the L1 cache several times to find it. So what this turns our lookup into is where previously we would take our virtual page number and use the page table based register and do a lookup and more steps if we had a multi-level page table. Here, we're going to take our virtual page number, send it to the TLB, and ideally what happens is we get a page table entry right out of the TLB. So that replaces going to memory to read the page table entry. And we do our usual processing of that page table entry. We like check permission bits. As I said, the TLB won't store invalid entries, so we won't have that case come up, but we still have to check if it's kernel mode only or read only. The TLB will store that, and we'll handle that there. And once we get the page table entry, we'll find out the physical page number, and we'll use that to actually access the cache. So this is our TLB hit. We just replace the whole page table access. In this case, I have it showing a single level page table to keep the diagram simple, but we'd replace the whole multi-level lookup that I showed you earlier if we had a multi-level page table. So that's our good case. And we want, just like with an L1 cache, we want this to be happening like 99.99% of the time. When that doesn't happen, we're going to have a case where we do our usual page table lookup because we asked the TLB and it said, no, I don't have it. And so we're going to do our usual page table lookup. We're going to get the page table entry and we're going to do the same translation we did before. We're going to check the valid bits. We're going to check the read kernel bits. And we're going to, if it's valid, get a physical page number and actually access memory. At the same time, we're going to do an extra step and we're going to tell the TLB, hey, here's something for you to cache. I figured out that this was the page table entry for this virtual page number. Add it to your cache. Remove anything you need to remove to deal with it. So TLB miss, we do our normal page access, and we have to refill the TLB. Yes?
Does the TLB only hold
The TLB holds page table entries indexed by virtual page numbers. We go back to this diagram here. So, whereas the cache holds is indexed by physical addresses, the TLB is indexed by virtual page numbers. Where cache holds bytes from memory, the TLB holds page table entries. So our TLB is a cache of valid last level page table entries. And so this means that, given the TLB output, we can directly, take the physical page number out of that and form an address as long as it's a hit. If it's not a hit, we need to do something more expensive. So I mentioned the TLB as a cache, and as a cache, it's going to look very much like the caches we've seen before. So we'll have the same options for organizing it as far as direct mapped or associative, and typically TLBs will be some sort of set associative cache, or sometimes even fully associative. This is because, they're pretty small, and it's relatively easy to make a small cache have a higher degree of associativity compared to a large one. Another reason is that there's not much spatial locality in pages. Because a page already represents like 4K of data, it's not actually that frequent that you assume because you're accessing one page, you're going to access adjacent pages. So you don't assume that something like a direct map TLB would avoid conflict misses that much. Because you have lots of cases where the pages you're accessing are far apart, like one's on the stack, one's in code, and they happen to share the bottom bits. So typical TLB organization, here I'm showing a two-way set associative TLB. So our TLB, instead of storing data, we store page table entries, the physical page number, like the writable bit, and so on. And our tags are part of the virtual page number. So we have some index, which determines which row. And I probably should have drawn more rows in this case, but we'll. So this should be 8 rows, because we have a 3-bit index. So we'll just say I omitted some here. This would be so on. So we have our TLB has these rows. Each row corresponds to an index, and the index comes from the VPN. It's the bottom bits of the VPN because each block contains one entry, so it corresponds to one page. So each virtual page number, is one entry. And just like in an L1 cache, we want to spread them out among the sets. So virtual page 0 goes to set 0, virtual page 1 goes to set 1, and so on. And we need a tag, just like we did with an L1 cache, to determine, well, I know which set I was going to. I need to know the rest of the virtual page number to see if it was a match. So we're going to have the tag, which is going to be composed of any part of the virtual page number we didn't use to figure out what set to go to. But otherwise, this is basically the same as an L1 cache lookup. It's just that we're looking up page table entries based on virtual page numbers. And it's our virtual page number that we split up into an index and a tag, not our physical address. So does this idea make sense? Why things are organized this way? Yeah.
Why is the MUX being fed the output from that AND gate instead of like the tag?
Why is the MUX using the output? The question is, why does this MUX use the output from this AND gate instead of something that, say, I think you're complaining why we need to use this, don't we? Yeah, so the idea is that if the tag matches here and it's a hit, we want to use the bottom input. Otherwise, it must be the other one if it's a hit. And if it's not a hit, we're going to completely ignore this page table entry. So it doesn't matter what the MUX outputs. It wouldn't be so simple if we had a four-way set associative TLB or something like that. Other questions? Okay. So let's take an example of my desktop. So my desktop has 4K pages and 48-bit virtual addresses. And it has a 64-entry, four-way, level 1. So there's multiple levels of TLBs, just like there's multiple levels of caches. Data TLB. And just like in caches, we have a data instruction TLB. That's a common choice. So this L1 data TLB, how many index bits does it have? Yeah.
Four.
So why four?
say there's 64 entries, it means there's 16 in each way, so you need 4 bits.
So there's 16 sets, yeah.
Yeah,
16 in each way. So yeah, this means 16 sets. And that implies 4 index bits. So where in an address are these 4 index bits? So if I have an memory address, what bits of the address do I get these index bits from? Or how do I compute those index bits? So figuring this out, remember our general rule that we're going to take our TLB takes a virtual page number and gives us a page table entry. So the input is the virtual page number. So the first thing we need to figure out is where in our address is our virtual page number. And if we have a 48-bit virtual address, that's going to have a page offset and a virtual page number. And everything the TLB sees comes from the virtual page number. So we first need to chop off the page offsets. So how big is the page offset in this case? Yeah. 12 what units?
12 bits.
Okay, yeah. So 12 bits. So how did you get that? Yeah, so the page offset tells us what byte in a page does a virtual address refer to. And we don't care about that for looking things up in the TLB because we're going to get a page table entry for the whole page. And in this case, we need 12 bits to do that, so it's the bottom 12 bits. That's not going to be used by the TLB at all, so we just chop that off. So if we have an address, that's not where the index bits are. So the index and tag are going to be some way we're splitting up the virtual page number part of the address. And we determine that there's 4 index bits. And just like with caches, the index bits will always be after the tag because we want things which have adjacent virtual page numbers to map to different sets of the cache. So we hopefully get more utilization of the TLB. So that means here we're going to have a 4-bit TLB index. And we have, of course, this rest of the virtual page number that the TLB sees and needs to make sure when it finds an entry in that index, is it from the same virtual page number or not? Why did I put it there? And so we need to use the remaining bits, which is 32 bits here, or no. Okay, yeah. Yes, the remaining 32 bits here is the TLB tag. So that's what we needed to store to get the rest of the virtual page number to figure out how do we get this entry in there in the first place. What virtual page number was being accessed? So any questions about any of the steps here? Yeah?
How many index bits there are on the rest of the tag bits?
The rest of the virtual page number, yes. It's the tag bits. We don't have any offset bits because of the rule I told you that each block is one page table entry.
Is there some reason for that or is it just by convention?
So the question is there some reason for that? There's no conceptual problem with having multiple. I don't know of any processor which has even proposed doing it. And presumably the reason why is that if you thought this was a good idea, you just make your pages bigger and save a lot more space that way. And systems which probably have cared about that, they're consistent with variable size pages, where you can set a special register and it changes the page size. And that's presumably what people who thought that was a good idea did instead. Okay, so that's one example. So given that everyone knows that, let's go through this example. And let's, to make things more concrete, let's say I have let's just figure out the splitting. So figure out the number of bits and how it goes in the address. And let's sure everyone agrees. So this is the L2 TLB that my system has. So the way that my desktop, Intel chose to design their TLB is before they do the page table lookup, they have a second TLB that they look in that's much bigger because they're so concerned about how long page table lookups take. And you'll notice that because this is small, they can afford to make it really associative. And also because they're concerned about conflict misses, much more so than you would be in a normal data cache. So who knows, can tell me all the sizes on that diagram there. Yeah.
Because it stores 14 pages, you still know that the page offset.
Yes, so we didn't change the page size, so it's still 12-bit page offset.
And then based on the number of entries that it's supposed to be, I got 7 bits per each.
Okay, and so what was the calculation you did to do that? So 1536 entries equals number of blocks divided by 12, 120, which gave you 128 sets.
Yeah,
which is 7 bits. So we know, we know the total size of this, you could figure out was 36. This is by taking our 48, and we just subtract everything we didn't use, and that's the tab. So how about a different exercise? And here, let's do the final step of we have an address, and I like to split this address so I know, first of all, VPN parts for the page table lookups and the TLB index and tag. So everything we're using. Okay, someone want to go through like part of this? So, any of the things we need to do this? It's a good first step. So I'd like to first probably figure out, we had our picture before, of dividing up an address. So we have our page offset, and then we had our VPN. And we can view this VPN in two ways. We can divide it up into two parts. for the multi-level page table lookup. We have a two-level page table. We're going to use the one part of the BPM for the first level, one part for the second. And we also have a TLB lookup that we use a tag and an index. And these are both ways of dividing up the BPM. People look confused. Yeah.
So I think, is the offset still going to be, I guess, 13 just because of the page size?
Yes. So the question is, what's the offset? The offset, it only depends on the page size, which doesn't change depending on what we're doing. So that's going to be 13 bits. So the question is, what are we doing with the other 23 bits? And we have, so the other bits are the virtual page number. And we have two things we do with the virtual page number. One is we use it to look up a TLB entry. And we split it up in one way for that. And if that doesn't work, then we take the virtual page number and split it up to look up the first level page table, then the second. And there's no reason we have to do the splitting in the same way for each thing. Yes?
So this really should have like two answers, like the normal version and the TLB version?
So we're going to find the two parts of the virtual page number and the TLB tag and index. And then, yeah, and so we'll have four different things we're getting out.
So those are like different divisions, though?
Yes. Yeah.
So for the parts of the BPM, would you just use the number of entries per level?
Yes. So the VPN parts, I'll try using. So for our VPN parts here, so if we think of this part one here, that's just saying, how do I know which of the 256 entries I'm accessing? So that part, this means that VPN part one is 8 bits because we need 8 bits to figure out which of the 256 things. And we have 11 bits for the second level, second part. So we need 8 bits to figure out where we are in the second level table. And there's no reason for that to be related except that it's the same size virtual page number to what we're doing with the TLB. In fact, it's not particularly related. So in the TLB here, we have 128 sets. If we take 384 divided by 3, that's 128 sets. So we need 7 bits to determine which of the sets we're accessing. And the rest of the virtual page number is the TLB tag. Yes.
Go through how you arrived at those figures again.
Which one?
Sets.
The 128 sets. That's is 348 entries divided by 3 entries per set. Yeah.
How'd you get the 8 bits
out of 11 bits? How did I get 8 bits? 256 is 2 to the 8. And 2048 is 2 to the 11. So if we have 8 bits of data, that tells us which one of 256 things we're talking about. We have 11 bits, that tells us which one of the 248 entries in that second level table we found the page is using. So the steps I do by this, first easy part is the page offset. So that's at the end. We determine it's 13 bits because we have 8K bytes in a page. We need 13 bits to determine which of those 8K bytes we were referring to. Then I'll go through the two-level page table next. So in our two-level page table, first we get the VPN, sorry. So the rest is the VPN. And the VPN we're going to use to access our two-level page table and our TLB. I'll start with our two-level page table. Two-level page table, we have the 8-bit first part, which is 8 because we have 256 things, we just know how to name one of them, so we need 8 bits to do that. And we always use the first bits of the VPN for the first level, so it's the first 8 bits. Then, once we've figured out our first level page table entry, that's going to point to a second level page table entry. And in that second level page table, point to a second level page table, and that second level page table has 2048 entries. We need 11 bits to determine which of the 2048 entries we want to get from that. So the remaining 11 bits of the virtual page number, happily this adds up to the size of the virtual page number, is going to be where we're looking in that second level table. And this page table lookup is only what we're doing if we had a TLB miss. So if we don't have a TLB miss, we aren't actually going to, in the processor, compute this division because we don't care. The TLB is just going to tell us what we need to know. It's going to tell us the result of what the last level lookup would have been. Yes?
An entry in the TLB, like analogous to a cache block, just rather than having an offset, the entire block is the physical page number?
The question is an entry in a TLB like a cache block? Yes. Okay. Is it just a physical page number? Almost. It also has permission bits.
Okay.
So in the case where we're doing a TLB access, we're going to look back at our full virtual page number. That's what the TLB is going to get. The TLB doesn't care how many levels our cache has. All the TLB knows is you gave it a virtual page number and you have single page table entries for each virtual page number. So the TLB, since we determined it has a 7-bit index for the 128 sets, so a 7-bit set index, we take the bottom 7 bits of our virtual page number, that's the TLB index. Everything that's left over is the tag. So, questions about this procedure? Yeah.
In last class's exercise, we divided the page table size by the page table entry size. What does that determine?
Questions, what's the page table size divided by the page table entry size? Since the page table is an array of page table entries, determines the number of page table entries in a page table. So it was a way of computing, in this case, these numbers here that I gave you for this problem. Like I could have told you instead that page tables at the first level are not 256 entries, but 1 kilobyte. And you'd figure out that it's 256 entries that way. Okay. Okay, so to make things more concrete, let's look through an example of what TLB accessing looks like. So if we have a bunch of memory accesses and a TLB, first, we need to know the page size. So the TLB, we have this memory accesses. Each of them are going to use the TLB, but the TLB doesn't see these whole big memory addresses. So we need to figure out where's the virtual page number. And if we have 64-bit pages, 64-byte pages, that means we chop off the bottom 6 bits of our address to take out the page offset. So everything else in the address is the bottom 6 bits are the page offset, so everything else is the virtual page number. That's the only part of these addresses the TLB cares about. So as far as the TLB is concerned, we're just accessing the things that I highlighted there. Everything else the TLB doesn't see. Yes, we're going to use it to actually access the cache, but that doesn't come up yet. The TLB is before that. And the TLB is going to divide that up into an index and a tag, just like we did with a cache. And our procedure is we're going to say this is index 0. We're going to look at index 0, see if any of the entries are valid. They aren't, it's a miss. And we're going to add an entry to it, add an entry to deal with that. And we're going to keep doing that for each thing. So the first two have different tags, so they end up going in different places in the TLB, different places in the set. And just like in an associative cache, we're going to have some replacement policy in our TLB. So we're going to need to keep track of which entry is least recently used. If we implement an LRU replacement policy, if we did something else, we might have some different sort of information we keep track of. Yeah?
Page table entries in the TLB is the lowest level page table entry?
So yes. So question is, each of the entries is the lowest level? Yes. So each of them should be exactly what we need to form a physical mattress. So it is true that processors will cache higher level page table entries, but not in the TLB. So then when we have this third access here, this is for the same virtual page number as the first access, so it's a hit. Doesn't matter that the addresses are different. All that matters is the VPNs are the same, because that's what the TLB caches. So it's a hit, and both of them will go quickly. The second access will go quickly to the cache to find the actual data at the corresponding physical address. And similarly, the fourth access is a hit because it's the same page as the second, and we managed to keep both of them in the same set. And we can go through, when we access something new, we have to load it, just like before. And when we have an access that is conflicts with something else before, we might have to do a replacement, and we have to decide which of the two ways to put something in, just like we did with a normal cache. So it's all the decisions you saw with a normal cache. The only difference is we're not caching bytes of data, we're caching page table entries, and our cache is accessed with virtual page numbers. We don't care about everything after the virtual page number when we're accessing the TLB. That all happens later when the processor is accessing memory. So any questions about what went on here? Okay. So that's how TLBs operate. So some other details that are different from normal caches. And one big thing is, how do we change page tables if we have a TLB? So if I change the page table base pointer, you know, for example, I have a context switch and I move from one process to another, they have different page tables, so different page table base pointers. Previously, we had no problem because we weren't caching any page table entries and we just used the new page table base pointer. But if we don't do anything, most of the things in the TLB refer to the wrong process. So what should we do when we change the page table base pointer? It's the simplest solution, not fast, yeah. Yeah, so we're going to just invalidate all the entries in the TLB. And this is the most common solution. So option one is that the processor, when you execute the change the page table base register instruction, is going to invalidate every single TLB entry to make sure that that works. There's a second option that some processors implement, which is a bit faster and smarter, which is that you have a process ID in your TLB entries, and the OS tells the processor, hey, this is the page table base pointer for this process ID. And it checks the process ID along with the TLB tag. Okay. So that's the easy case. If we're just changing from one page table to another, everything is invalid, and we, you know, so because we're changing programs. So there's another case, which is a bit more subtle, which is what happens when we edit the page table or program? Let's say we change where your stack is stored. Like we invalidate a page table entry in your stack because we freed some of your stack, or we freed some memory in the heap and we actually got rid of it. And the solution that processors generally use for this is that the OS is responsible for telling the processor, hey, I changed the page table. The processor doesn't try to figure out that it happened. It doesn't look at accesses to memory and say, is this to a page table I have cached? It doesn't check. So with normal caches, we expect whenever we write something, the processor is going to check, is this in the cache? Do I need to update the cache? When we edit page table entries, it's not going to check the TLB. Instead, the OS needs to run a special instruction telling the processor, hey, that memory write I just did, it edited the TLB entry for this virtual page number, please clear it, if you have it cached. And if you don't, do nothing. So there's a special instruction in x86, for example, called invalvlpg, which the OS gets to run every time it edits the page table to say, hey, if you have this page table, the page table entry for this virtual page number cached, get rid of it. And it needs to run that every time it edits the page table, and if it doesn't, well, very occasionally something really weird might happen. But not always. And this is considered acceptable to do because, well, we assume the OSs are written by people who know what they're doing. So another side effect of this, if we think about the swapping scenario I talked about before, we had that program A had an invalid page, and it had triggered a page fault because that page was on disk. And part of this process, the first thing we did was we evicted a page in program B. Right? We choose some victim page because we wanted to load it somewhere and we didn't have any memory left over. So that's a scenario where because program A needs more memory, we got rid of memory from program B, but maybe program B is running on some other core. Each core is going to have its own TLB. So what operating systems will do in this case is that they will trigger an interrupt to the other core in order to run that special instruction, please get rid of that TLB entry, because they're editing the page table of program B. Because it's the operating system's responsibility to figure out you have an invalid page table entry, TLB entry, not the processor's. So our procedure is going to be that program A triggers it needs to get more memory. We steal it from program B, even if program B hasn't touched that page forever, just in case. We need to tell the processor, hey, you might have this TLB entry, a TLB entry for this page that I just marked as invalid in the page table. Please get rid of it before we can start loading into that physical page. Because otherwise, we don't know whether program B might be accessing it. The OS just doesn't have a way of telling. It can guess that it hasn't been accessed recently, but that's not enough. So I mentioned that TLBs are very small caches, and that makes them fast. But you might say, well, that still means that we're making all our memory accesses slower than if we just had an L1 cache. And in the most obvious way of doing things, this would be true, because our caches use physical addresses, as I said. We always showed that we sent a physical address to the cache. It was always after the translation. So it seems like we have to wait for the entire TLB access to finish. We have to check the tags to figure out which of the several entries in the set it is before we can even start the L1 cache access. And this is what the obvious design would do, but modern processors have this very clever trick to avoid this problem, to actually not have the TLB access count as extra time in the common case. And you can see this if you look at some curious choices for how addresses are divided. So this is Intel Skylake, which is the microarchitecture of my desktop. The L1 cache takes a physical address, has the offset as the bottom 6 bits, the index as the next 6 bits, and then the tag. If you take the physical address and divide it into a physical page number and a page offset, the page offset is 12 bits, and the physical page number is the same size as the L1 cache tag. And this is not a coincidence. This is a deliberate decision by Intel in order to make their processor faster. So can anyone see what's the thing that we're getting benefit of having the tag include the entire physical page number? So what we need to think about is what steps are actually involved in accessing the L1 cache. Like the diagrams I've shown, we typically think of the L1 cache as we put in an address, we get out a value. But the L1 cache doesn't do the entire lookup all at once. It has multiple steps. The first step is to retrieve the cache set. And that step only needs this. So we can start that first step with only the page offset. We're still going to need the rest of the address, the cache tag, later, but the part that where we look up the set of the cache, we can do before we have the physical page number. So once we have the virtual address, we know what the page offset is because it's the same as it was in the physical address. And we can look up the cache set, and we can finish checking the tags later on after we've looked up the set. And hopefully the TLB access will have finished while we're doing that. So we get an access that looks like this, that in our L1 cache, we take our index, we look up the appropriate row, and our tag is the same as our virtual, the tag in the virtual address part, which produces the tag, is the virtual page number. And while we're looking up the index in using the index to look up the set, we do the TLB translation. And assuming it's a hit, because our TLB is really small, it's going to finish before we finish our cache lookup, before we're going to start looking up our cache set. So by the time we're done pulling out the set from the cache, we'll have the physical page number and therefore the L1 cache tag to do our comparison here and here. And this is a very common choice in modern processors, that they want to do the TLB access while they're doing the L1 cache lookup. And this is why Intel designed their L1 cache that way. So in order to have this sort of address split, the L1 cache is 8-way set associative. That is actually not particularly a fast thing to do. It would be a considerably faster cache if it had a lower associativity, most likely. But it wouldn't allow them to do this because it would make the index bigger and make it overlap with the page number. So it was worth making the cache have a higher associativity and probably be a little bit slower in order to hide the TLB access with the lookup of the cache set. And if you look at the cache parameters of lots of processors, you'll find out that they line up exactly to the physical page number like this, for the same reason. Yeah?
So essentially, this means you can do the cache access and the TLB access at the same time?
Yeah, you can start the cache access. You don't finish it. Because you don't finish it until you know which of the two tags matches, or if any of them match. But you can start the cache access while you're doing the TLB access. Whereas if we needed to know the result of the TLB access to even know what the index was, we couldn't start the cache access because we have to look up all the possible sets of the cache that could result from whatever the TLB outputs. And in this case, with modern processors, typically it ends up that the tag and the physical page number are the same thing. This would also work if the tag includes part of the page offset in addition to all the physical page number. But that's typically not what Owen caches look like, just because they want to be bigger than that. And so that gives us, so that this is sort of another way of looking at it, is that we sort of shortcut the page offset to the O1 cache to start the access, but we still do need the TLB. So there's another design choice, which is rarely used today, but has been used on some processors, which we could do to avoid this penalty. And that would be to have caches hold virtual addresses. So the decision here would be that the TLB and the MMU, rather than living before the cache, it's after the L1 cache. Like it's between the L1 and the L2 cache, for example. So this is another design you could use, and it's a reasonable design, it's fast, but it does make some things considerably more complicated. So one issue is now when we invalidate, instead of just invalidating TLB entries, when we change the page table, we need to invalidate cache entries, so you need logic in the processor to handle that. And we also need to deal with cases where we have multiple page table entries which have the same physical page number. But this is a real design that some people have chosen, and it's another way of avoiding that problem of why am I wasting this extra time accessing this page table lookup. So here we solve that by just not doing it most of the time and caching the bytes that are actually there in the cache instead of the bytes by physical address. Okay, so here's a toy case. So can, with this setup, can I overlap the TLB and the cache access? Can I do that thing where I start the cache access before I do this TLB access? So what you want to do to figure this out is figure out how do you divide up our 16-bit virtual addresses and the corresponding physical addresses. someone have answer what they think you need to know for the answer? Yeah.
For the VPN and page offset, your page offset will be like, why did I do blank? 6 bytes, which makes 10 bytes.
So you have 6-bit page offsets, and that's because this is just to the 6 bytes in a page.
And then I'm still unsure like what it means for them to overlap.
So the question is, can we do the TLB access while we're doing part of the cache access? In time, can they overlap? So let's think of how this cache divides up addresses. So we have 256 bytes in 8 ways. So each way is, so each set is, so yeah, each way is 32 bytes, which means 2 sets. So this is a 2-set cache, which means that we have our cache offset, and we have a 1-bit cache index. So the cache offset is 4 bits for a 16-byte block, and the cache index is 1 bit for 2 sets. And the rest is the cache tag. And when we think about our physical address, I didn't actually tell you how big they are, but we know that the bottom 6 bits are the page offset, and that includes all of the cache tag and cache index. So the cache index and the cache offset. So we can look up the cache index by taking a bit out of our page offset in our physical address, which is going to be the same as a bit out of our page offset in our virtual address. So we don't need the physical address to look up the cache index.
So they can't overlap.
So they can't overlap.
So if the cache index and the cache offset were longer or took up more bytes than the page offset in the
Yes. So if we had, for example, if I changed this to a direct mapped cache of that size, then I would have 16 sets, and I would end up with a division where I had 4 bits here and a 4-bit cache offset, and they would overlap. So any questions about this? Yeah.
So in that second scenario, you have 8 bits there.
Mm-hmm.
How would that overlap?
How would this overlap? Because the page offset is this part. So here, the top 2 bits of the cache index are part of the physical page number, and we need to get that from a TLB entry. We need to re. Sorry.
So the physical page number can be longer than the tag.
Yeah, that is fine. As long, the question is, does the cache? Do we need to know any part of the physical page number to get the cache index? Because the tag is the thing we do almost at the very end. Like, the index is the thing we use first, so we better have that immediately. Yes.
But if you get only 1 bit for the set index, there's 8 blocks per set.
There's 16 blocks in total, 8 blocks per set, 2 sets.
Oh.
And 2 sets is 1. I often accidentally write 2 bits because I see 2, but it's 1. Other questions? So since we've talked about some things that reals do, I'll just end with a look at sort of a more real view of what x86-64 page table entries look like. So this is the layout of an x86-64 page table entry. So we have a whole bunch of, it's surprisingly complicated. So we have an execute disable bit, we have some extra protection bits, we have an actual physical page number, which they call a page frame. And we have a whole bunch of weird bits here. So we have our writable bit, we have our kernel mode bit, which they call user/supervisor. We also have, if you remember when I talked about swapping, that we had these things to support swapping. So we have this access bit, which is set to 1 on a read or write, so we know that it was accessed recently. We can clear that and set it and find out whether things are accessed. And we also have a dirty bit, which is set to 1 on the write, so we can know whether pages have been changed, know whether we need to write them back to disk if we're doing swapping. We also have some other strange flags. So we have this global flag, which the OS can use to say, hey, this page table entry for this virtual page number is the same in all my page tables, I promise. And that's used so the CPU doesn't evict that page table entry on normal TLB, on normal page table-based register changes. And this is what the OS uses for its own pages because they're at the same part in every process's memory. Keeps those from being evicted from the TLB and making things slow. And we also have, weirdly enough, and this I don't think this is an uncommon feature, we have some bits here which are control how caches work on the page. So they decided, hey, I'm looking up the TLB entry every time anyways. I might as well use this to tell the cache what to do. And they give you the option to make the cache for a particular page whenever you're accessing it to, for example, be write through instead of write back. Or to not use the cache whenever you're accessing a particular page. Which is useful for dealing with certain kinds of hardware. So that's what it really looks like. So there's a few extra things, but we've mostly talked about what's here. And this is what the OS has to deal with. And of course, we have entries of like this at every level, but they look essentially the same. I guess that's where I'll end. So the book has, so you should know everything on this picture now, hopefully. And this is our books diagram of the typical data access on a modern Intel processor. So any questions on anything here? Things you've seen before? Okay, so next time we're gonna do exam review. So if you don't have questions, I won't have much to talk about. There's one more post quiz tonight and the memory homework, and that's it, besides the final.